Shalom to everybody. We are starting now. Tonight, again, we're continuing in Ein Aya, Siman 244 already in the second chapter of Rav Kook's commentary on the Agadita of Masachet Shabbat. And the Gemara on Daf Lamed Gimel, Amud Aleph, reads as follows. We're talking about four signs that reflect four problems. And tonight's sign is Siman Ligasut HaRuach Aniyut. Gasut HaRuach in Chazal is arrogance. And that if a person loses his money, that could be a sign of arrogance. Now, what does losing your money have to do with arrogance? As Rav Kook has been discussing recently, and also throughout his writings, Rav Kook writes about how we're not talking about punishments, but a natural extension of a person's wealth, that we want to help his arrogance, and the best way is to help him by losing his money. Let's see it inside. Omnam. Seif Aleph. Ha'osher. Omnam ha'osher, yachas ha'kinyanim shel ha'adam elav, the relationship that people have with wealth, kvar noda sheyesodo hu ha'dimayon. It is really a matter of imagination, that people associate themselves with their wealth through their imagination. Ha'omer ze beiti v'ze sadai u'v'ze yitiv libo v'yitaneg. A wealth is sort of an optical illusion that sometimes people think that, money is going to bring me happiness. It's true that money can bring me things that can bring me happiness, but we're talking about external pleasure. And that's what Rav Kook is saying. When somebody associates his happiness with his house and his field, hare, those are external factors, right? They're not me. And we all know that Judaism believes in internal happiness, right? That's what Shabbat is about. Shabbat is when you take off your money, no car, no job, and you're left with yourself. And somebody whose happiness depends on an outside external factor, he really is not happy. And Rav Kook is explaining that this is connected with the imagination. Seif bet, ubiyot zehat siyur hameaneg sar meimo. So what happens is, if this wealthy person loses his money, kvar lo yeda manoach, he lost his happiness. Hine amatara shel oto atziyur hi, sheyifal yafe al acheshek shel akinyanim hanidrashim lematzav hakiyum haprati shel haprat. And here, Rav Kook is explaining something that we've seen many times in Rav Kook. He always shows both sides of the coin. As we always say, first there's the thesis, then the antithesis, and then the synthesis. And here also, God doesn't make mistakes. So why is there this concept of a person thinking that his wealth is his happiness? Rav Kook says that this imagination is good because it drives us to work hard to support our families, to support ourselves. And even though it's sort of an optical illusion, because again, happiness is happiness, money is not necessarily happiness, but it does. The issues are connected. And therefore, Rav Kook is saying that although the first thesis is that money is not happiness, and external pleasures are not happiness, he then comes with the antithesis, which says, well, on the other hand, God doesn't make a mistake when man enjoys money. But he explains that this imagination is something which helps us drive to work hard and support our families. Seif Gimel, ha'hechsher shel gasut ha'ruach, the cause of arrogance, hu ba me'aflaga dimyonit ha'overet kol gvul. This is a very important point. That where does arrogance come from? It comes from, again, an exaggerated imagination that doesn't know bounds. Everybody has an ego, and it's healthy to have an ego. We should feel good about ourselves, right? Chazal say, "Im ein ani li mili," if I'm not for myself, who will be for me? On the other hand, the problem is, whenever you go, whenever you leave the middle road, and you go to this extreme or the other extreme, that's when we have problems. So if a person has an exaggerated, inflated picture of himself, Yudit, I think your volume is on, your microphone is on.
Yeah, I hear two voices.
Yeah. Okay, when a person has an inflated ego, Dafke works out very well in English, because that's exactly what Rav Kook is saying. When you inflate yourself, everybody knows that it's not real. Deep down, you also know it's not real. And as the Mesilat Yesharim says, it's just a matter of time before somebody pricks your balloon and deflates your inflation and brings you down to earth. And again, what is the problem with this arrogance? It comes from the imagination who exaggerates one's importance. Hamiyachiset le'atzma et kol chemda v'chol gedula. Arrogant people, this exaggerated imagination, attributes to, the person attributes to himself, all that he desires, and his all the positions that he wants, the power, the possessions. Afilu im tia rechokam imenu ad ma'od, even though it's not true. And that's a key point here. An arrogant person is not in touch with truth. He's living in a dream world. Everybody knows it. Deep down, he knows it. And it's just a matter of time before somebody pricks his balloon and he'll also, it'll slap him in the face. V'da'ato tazuach v'lo yisa ayin l'shum machaze mar'elo chalishut koach v'chesron ashlama. Somebody who has this arrogance, he isn't going to listen to anybody else. Not his spouse, not his friends. People are trying to bring him down to earth, back down to reality. But he is in this dream world. Paragraph Dalid. Al ken, rak ha'aniyut hi tigale tachulsha. What is going to solve this person's problem? If Hashem does him a favor and he loses his money, and his optical illusion is deflated. Hi tifakech et ha'inayim. This will open his eyes. Lahabit she'ena metziyut misacheket lefanav kol kach kedimyono. Right? That he really isn't as fortunate as he is imagining to himself. Ve'az yavo lidei cheshbon lesamen et ziyurav. And then he has no choice but to do an accurate evaluation of his imagination. B'ma shemiyaches le'atzmo lefi agbalatam, u'memele yasur miderech hakesel shel gasut haruach. And that will help deflate his arrogance. In other words, wealth and arrogance really are coming from the same place. I know there are people here from Michmas, and I'll say something, an idea of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank that I heard from my friend Rav Yitzchak Sapir from Michmas. There's Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was asked the question, can you do kiddushin with a bill, with a 20 shekel note? Now everybody knows that you can mikadesh a woman, you can give her a pruta, which is about 10 agurot, and say, Areat mikudeshet li bepruta zu kidat Moshe Yisrael, and if she accepts it, they're man and wife. But the problem with money is that the piece of paper is not really worth a pruta. And the, what is it? There is a social agreement that this 20 shekel bill with a picture of, who's on the 20 shekel today? I think it used to be Yitzhak Ben Tzvi, whoever it is. Everybody agrees that this is going to have the buying value of 20 shekel, right? It used to be that in America, so they would say, that in Fort Knox, there was a certain amount of gold to equal every dollar which is printed. In other words, that each dollar really covered its cost in gold. On the other hand, today it's just a piece of paper. So the question is, if I give a coin which is 10 agurot, and the metal there is 10 agurot, so you can do a marriage with that worth. But if I take a piece of paper, even if it's not 10 agurot, if it's 20 shekel, a lot more, or $20, which is a lot more than a penny, but it's just a piece of paper that everyone agrees it's worth $20. Rotzvi Pesach Frank said very beautifully. He said, in his opinion, you can do it. Because what is gold? What is silver? Silver, kesef. Money in Hebrew is silver. It's also just a social agreement that everyone agrees that gold is valuable. And that's why it's valuable. But if everyone would agree that sweet potatoes were valuable, then that would also be valuable, right? In certain places, diamonds are rare, so they're valuable. In other places,
Alcohol at a certain point was very valuable.
What's that?
Alcohol in masks.
Oh, alcohol was very valuable. That's a good example, right? So,
can I ask a question? What about a piece of jewelry that's made out of silver or gold? Is that also acceptable?
So it's definitely acceptable as long as the woman knows how much it's really worth. By the way, it could even be fake jewelry if she knows that it's fake jewelry. But the question is, what about that piece of paper? So Rotzvi Pesach Frank says that if there's a social agreement that gold or silver or diamonds are worth a lot, but you know what? When you go out to the desert and you're thirsty for water, you could have a lot of diamonds, but they're not worth too much because what you need is water. And when you're out in nature, that's when you really understand what is really worth, objectively, is worth a lot of value. And so Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says, if the whole, even gold and silver and jewelry is just a social agreement, so what's the difference between that and a 20 shekel piece of paper that prints on a 20 shekel? Everyone has a social agreement that is also worth something. So in his opinion, you can do kiddushin with a bill of money. Why do I mention this? Because the idea is that we see that money is a social agreement. And what really is important is what a poor man knows what he needs to stay alive. When a person knows that he needs bread, he needs water, he needs oxygen, that is what is important. And that puts him in touch with reality. That's what the point that Rav Kook is making. Arrogant people are living in a dream world where their imagination is taking them over. And the main point is, get back to reality. How do you get back to reality? By remembering what really is important. Bread is really important. Water is really important. Right? You look at stories of people from the Holocaust and the death camps, what they lived on. It's hard to believe. But sometimes for us, that's important to remember. And first of all, thank God for our high standard of living. But we shouldn't have a inflated, exaggerated, imaginary picture of what we really need or who we really are. Okay?
You know, there's so much. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
I don't see myself at all.
Yeah, we see you, Naomi.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I see you.
Okay.
What I wanted to say, I'm a Holocaust survivor.
Uh-huh.
And I really appreciate even being locked up. But I have an apartment. Nobody hits me. Nobody tortures me. I mean, you have to, you know, when you think about it, we are all complaining, but it's not easy, but still. We are in a good position, after all.
Right. That's a very good example. That's a very good example of, you know, like what we have in Corona. Like Nomi says, you know, it helps us clarify, you know, thank God we do have what we really need. Yeah, for sure. Let's jump for a second to look in paragraph 2, where Rav Kook in Orot HaKodesh elaborates a little on this idea. He writes, this is source number 2. In Orot HaKodesh, page Tuf, this is Chelek Dalid, the fourth volume, page 476. Ha'anava v'akarata emet. Humility and recognizing. Sorry?
There's a noise. Somebody's talking.
Okay. Yeah, we'll try and mute everybody. I don't know how I can do that. I don't know how to do this. Okay.
Go into participants. Muting everyone.
Okay. Participants.
Oh, no, I finally see myself.
Wait, hold on. Participants, where do I mute everyone? Mute all. Here we go. I hope I don't mute myself. Mute all current and new participants. Okay. Can you people hear me? Okay, great. Okay, so we're going back to the screen sharing. Oh, don't tell me I lost it. Oh, here we go. Okay. Again, we're in source 2. Rav Kook in Orot HaKodesh. Ha'anava v'akarat emet. Again, these are the 2 points exactly that Rav Kook is discussing here. Humility, the opposite of arrogance, and being in touch with reality. Ha'anava manmicha et ha'da'at ha'elyona shel ha'adam. Humility lowers a person's high opinion of himself. Umorida et ora la'omek omka shel nishmato. And it brings light down into the depths of his soul to light up his soul that he should see who I really am inside. A clarity. That's what humility is. Val yedeze makirhu et haemet la'amita. When a person has humility, he has a clarity, he has truth. He knows who he is. He knows his talents, he knows his shortcomings, he knows what he can do, he knows what he can't do, right? It's a lot more realistic. And according to his humility, the godly truth also can appear. Because again, the key word here is truth, reality. Who is the most humble person in human history? Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah says he was the humblest person on the face of the earth. And that is why he rose to the highest level that a human being can achieve. Why? Because he has clarity. A humble person is open to learn from everyone. An arrogant person thinks he knows it all. He's not willing to listen to anyone. V'chol ha'deyot ha'ra'ot v'toldoteihen. All of the bad midot. All of our bad character traits, v'chol minei darkei avodah zarah, and different types of idolatry, hakol novim hem mimakor amashchit shel ha'gaava. It all gets back to this arrogance, to this misunderstanding of myself and who I really am, and not being in touch with truth. She merima et alev. This arrogance raises a person's heart. Here's a new key word. Atzmiut is a person's real self. The Maharal talks about this Atzmiut, this real self, in his commentary on the Haggadah, where we say at the beginning of the Haggadah, Halach ma'anya da'achala avotenu ba'ara d'mitzrayim. This is the poor bread that our forefathers ate in Egypt. And the Maharal asks, why is it called poor bread? He explains it's the opposite of matzah ashira. Matzah ashira is what we call in English egg matzah. If everybody remembers the Hurwitz and Margaret and egg matzahs, that's called wealthy matzah. Why is it wealthy? Because they add eggs, they add apple juice, they add grape juice. As opposed to kosher matzah, matzah which is kosher for the Seder, has to be just flour and water. No salt, no leavening, no grape juice, no eggs, just the simplest bread. And that is the symbolism of matzah. And what the Maharal explains there is that part of the symbolism of Pesach and Leil HaSeder is that on the Seder night, we get in touch with ourselves. Where a lot of times we have adonim, we have bosses who are bossing us around. We have masters who are controlling us, and we're not in charge of our free will. Comes Pesach and say, you are a free man, you have a free will. The same thing when it comes to arrogance. Arrogance is called, in Masechet Brachot, Daf Yud Zayin, arrogance is called leavening, chametz, se'or sheba'isa. What is the Sefer HaChinuch says this also on, there's an Isur De'oraita, the Torah says you're not allowed to give korbanot, which have chametz, all year round, except for on Chag HaShavuot. Why are you not allowed to bring chametz to the Holy Temple? It explains the Sefer HaChinuch, because chametz means you inflate yourself. That's the arrogance that we are coming out against. Get in touch with my real self. Forget all the bluff. Forget all the chazarai that's around. Get back to being realistic and true, and that way I will leave room for God as well. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did, to have a true understanding of himself and of God and of Torah and wisdom and being willing to learn from others. V'nishar kulo shakua ba'afela. If a person is arrogant, he is living a life of darkness. Let's go back to paragraph Hey. Rav Kook continues, Omnam, Aniyut de Torah, hold on 1 second. You know what? Maybe let's jump for a second to Rabbeinu Bachaye. Got a late start, so we're running out of time. Let's jump to source number 8, where Rabbeinu Bachaye writes about the problem of wealth that we're talking about. That again, wealth brings arrogance. Rabbeinu Bachaye in Chovot HaLevavot writes as follows, Ukvar hizhiru tanu Shlomo HaMelech, Solomon, the wisest of all people in history, he warned us, Lo lashkia charitzut v'itmasrut b'tzvirat harbe mamon. King Solomon warned us not to invest too much time and effort to amass money. So many people are into money. Like I wrote in the heading, like in the words of Tevye from Fiddler on the Roof, would it spoil some vast eternal plan if I were a wealthy man? The Chovot HaLevavot says, according to Judaism, yes. Be'omro, it says in Mishlei, the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, Al tiagei la'ashir. Don't work hard to be a wealthy person. V'chem bikesh ha'chasid agur ben yaka me'alohav, l'archik mimenu et ha'osher ha'mevili de motarot. When people are wealthy, what preoccupies them is luxuries. They forget again, like Naomi pointed out, what is really important in life. And you start losing your priorities. V'etaniyuta mevi'ali dehit raknut mi'atorah. On the other extreme, poverty is also not good. Because if a person is fixated on where am I going to get my next meal, that also distracts him from life. Vamusar. And it distracts him from ethics and morals. It might even get him to cheat and to lie and to steal. Biomro, as it says again in the book of Proverbs, Mishle, chapter 30, Shtaim sha'alti me'itach. Shlomo HaMelech says, there are two things I ask of God. Remember, David HaMelech asked one thing, Achat sha'alti. His son Shlomo asks two things he asks of God. Rush, va'osher, alti tenli. God, don't make me poor, but don't make me wealthy either. Hatrifeni lechem chuki, give me enough bread to survive. Pen ezba vekichashti, because if I am a fat cat and I will become arrogant, ve'amarti mi Hashem, I will forget God. He is the one who gives me everything that I have. Upen ivasher veganavti. On the other hand, if a person is poor, he might steal. V'chen Yaakov Avinu alav ha-shalom, we'll read soon in the Torah. Yaakov Avinu asks of God, Bikesh me'eluav, rak latet lo kedei sipuko. God, please just give me my necessities. Kamo she'amar, v'natan li lechem le'achol u'beged lilbosh. God, please give me clothes to wear. Give me bread to eat. I don't need two cars. I don't need three cars. Give me the necessities. Now, I don't think anybody wants to be poor. That's not such a chidush. The novel idea here is that Judaism is telling us that it's not so good to be rich either. For those of you who learned with me Mesilat Yesharim, we learned at the beginning of the introduction where the Ramchal writes that everything in life is a test. Poverty is a challenge. Wealth is a challenge. But poverty is a challenge that nobody wants. Wealth is a challenge that everybody wants. But wealth is a challenge that most people fail. I grew up in a wealthy community. I won't even say the name of the community because I don't want to put out a bad name. Baruch Hashem, most of the people there are very nice. But in a wealthy community, you have a lot of people who spoil their children. And that's one of the worst things. And it's a big problem today because our standard of living, Baruch Hashem, is very high. Maybe that's one of the lessons of Corona and the fact that so many people are making less money. Sometimes you go to the makolet and you hear a kid drive his mother crazy. Ima, buy me bamba, buy me bisli, buy me this, buy me that. And the mother, who can afford it, just to shut her child up, she'll buy him this, buy him that. And that's not a healthy situation, because sometimes a parent has to say no. A child has to know the answer no. I once mentioned in the shiur here, some of you may have been there, that in all of the years of being head of a seminary, the only girl that we ever had to expel was a girl who was a spoiled brat. She didn't wake up in the mornings. She woke up at 11 o'clock. She didn't have friends. She didn't eat the food of the seminary. She had the King David Hotel bring a 5-star lunch every day to Elkanah for her. She didn't go on to Yulim. She didn't go to class. And it wasn't her fault. Her parents spoiled her terribly. And that is a test that, again, the Ramchal writes, most people fail the test of wealth. And that is what the Gemara is saying here, says Rav Kook. Wealth is a test that most people fail, and the only way to solve it is to break them out of their arrogance and bring them down to reality. But let's go back to paragraph Hay, where Rav Kook adds another aspect. Omnam aniyut de Torah. Rashi explains, what is it talking about poverty? Poverty fixes arrogance. Rashi explains that it's talking about a poverty of Torah. Omnam aniyut de Torah tiya siba yotir ne'ota litzurat adam amishtokeket limtso osher pnimi hamuftach be'etzem. The problem is that if a person puts his happiness in the external, in his money in his house, then he doesn't have happiness internally. And he eventually will feel that emptiness. And that is where Torah, values, ideals, religion, God, priorities between man and his fellow man, between man and God, between man and Israel, between man and his family, all of these ideals will bring him out of his poverty of Torah and help him get in touch with his inner wealth. Ezu Ashir Asameach Bechelko. Who is happy? He was happy with what he has. Rav Kook is explaining, what does it mean to be happy with what you have? Again, to be in touch with reality, to be in touch with my ideals. Every person's ideals are a little different. We've said this before. There's Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, and Elokei Yaakov. Because the spark of God, the soul of Avraham, is a little different than the spark of God of Yitzchak. And Yaakov's relationship with God is a little different from my relationship with God. Every person has a unique relationship with God, and that is my real self. We once learned together, Rav Kook writes, people mistake, they think, who's the real me? And they point to their body. But if I am my body, and I lose my hair, does that mean I'm less me? Or if I'm my body, and I gain weight, does that mean I am more me? Right? Obviously, I'm not my body. I am my soul. My soul is eternal in this world. Even if my body changes, I could get a nose job, but my soul is the same. Even in the next world, it's really the same soul. I am who I am. In Chassidut, Rabbi Nachman Mibreslov says beautifully, he says, if you want to meet God, go out to the forest. Why will I find God in the forest? It's not what there is in the forest. It's what there isn't in the forest. There are no distractions. When I am with myself, in touch with myself in the forest, that is how I get in touch with my godly self. That is my etzem. That's what Rav Kook is saying. That is the real me. And by the way, that's what Shabbat is about. Chazal say that the idea of Shabbat is, again, to be without. Take away your money, take away your car, no internet, no cell phone. What's left? The real me. And that is the beauty of Shabbat. Even more so, in Chassidut they say, heaven and hell is really the same place. All right, in a world where there's no place, we're all in the same place. So what's the difference between heaven and hell? The whole difference is that for one person, it's heaven, it's paradise. For the other, it's as boring as hell. Because if a person's definition of pleasure, like Rav Kook is saying here, if your definition of pleasure is your money, it's your car, it's your cell phone, it's your computer, what happens when you get up to heaven? What's going to happen where there's no reception? It's going to be as boring as hell. So the idea of this world is to prepare ourselves to get in touch with ourselves. And that's really the beauty of Shabbat. Shabbat is called Me'en Olam Haba. It's a taste of the world to come, because on Shabbat, it really is a day where I am in touch with myself. In other words, I am in touch with my godly self. And this, Rav Kook is saying, is the solution. To summarize, what does the Gemara say? When a person is arrogant, the only way to solve his problems is poverty, which is either to get in touch with his real self, to peel off the external money, and also to get in touch with his neshama, like we do on Shabbat, and like we will do in the world to come.